MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. What I forget? I don't think I forgot anything. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff Parlay singing Chuck Mangione's Feel So Good for some earthly reason.
It's stuck
why
in
is
my
that
head.
Your head?
I'm not sure why.
We saw how it charted, and what year was it? 1978, number two, you said?
Yeah, it looks like 78, number two.
I would have thought it got to number one. Apparently not. What couldn't it get past? Do you have that information? Wes Reynolds would know that information. Darn it, should have had him on. Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't know this information, but he also knows a whole bunch about other stuff. Our senior NBA analyst, and of course, co-host of The Edge, which he does with Matt Eumanns each and every weekday here on the network. It's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to answer any of the questions that you were asking right there. I got nothing in terms of the songs, but I can help you out with some NBA stuff today.
All right, we'll get to that. How was your football day yesterday?
It was good. So I was on Cincinnati before the game started. I got a little greedy, but it worked out. I didn't want to lay like the buck 20, 25 and take 7.5 with Cincy. So I just took 7 at minus 110. Obviously, they went outright. And then at halftime went Rams money line at a little bit of a plus price. So ultimately, a pretty solid day in terms of conference championships yesterday.
Very good. Your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
I'm excited. Yeah, and I like the Rams a little bit here, Gil. And I think when you look at it from a matchup standpoint, the thing that really sticks out to me is Aaron Donald, Von Miller, that up front, being able to get after Joe Burrow without having to blitz him, right? If you look at what has bothered Joe Burrow this year, it has been teams that can pressure him without blitzing him. Case in point, he wasn't as electric in the two games against the Raiders, and the Raiders do that. Bottom of the league in terms of blitz rate, but top half of the league in terms of pressure rate. Those are the kind of things that have bothered Joe Burrow. If you look at his numbers under pressure, they have been pretty poor this year, too. So I think the Rams fit that mold. And on the flip side, you know, when they're not making mistakes, you can see how explosive that passing attack is. And I think that secondary is in for a little bit of a tough matchup here. So I like the Rams initially as we're going into Super Bowl week.
Last thing on football, because I know you're a Colts fan. And we were talking last week about how, like, if you put the tiers of AFC quarterbacks now, right? So Mahomes, maybe Rodgers, but let's just say Mahomes top tier. Rodgers would be there if he came into the AFC. Then it's the Burrow, Allen, Herbert tier of quarterbacks as well. And then it goes, I mean, that doesn't even mention people like Tua and Carr and Mayfield and, you know, of that ilk. Who did I miss, Jeff? I'm sorry.
Lamar's
up on top. He's in the second tier as well, for sure, right behind Mahomes. So you've got Carson Wentz, man. Like, I mean, how does this feel to you now a year later?
It doesn't feel great. Like, I think Frank Reich clearly can maximize what Carson Wentz brings to the table, right? You saw a couple of those games. I mean, one of their worst losses was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, and Wentz was electric in that game for about 2.5 quarters, right? Like, we've seen some pretty high highs from Carson Wentz. We also seen some really extreme lows, and I think Reich will maximize any quarterback that he's got out there, but I think it's pretty clear, like, if you want to compete with the other teams in the AFC, if you want to win the conference, having a solid defense and a really good running game will only get you so far. Like, it's really clear in today's NFL that you need a quarterback that can change games for for you. And Carson Wentz is not that guy. So look, they're probably going to be like a consistent like type of playoff team, like 10-7, 9-8 in the mix every single time. But if Carson Wentz is going to be their guy, I just don't see how, unless he gets insanely hot, like that one year that they won the Super Bowl ultimately without him starting, I just don't see how they're winning and getting past some of these guys that are ahead of them at this point.
All right, let's talk some basketball. Phoenix Suns 40-9. By the way, just think about this off charts, Jeff. The year the Warriors lost to the Cavaliers, 73-9. The Suns have to win 33 more to match that. It's incredible, 33-0. All right, so power rank these teams, JVT, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you about the NBA in a while. We're approaching the All-Star break. We're more than halfway through the season. I assume the Suns are your number one, but how does it flesh out after that?
Yeah, like right now they are. They have to be from a power rating standpoint. And also because, you know, there's this little thing that they do that not many teams do, and it's that they try hard, like every single night, right? Like they're very much a team that wants to win every single game possible. Chris Paul has really done that. That's why he maximizes almost every single team that he's been on. And so with that, like, yeah, they're the highest power rated team for me at this point right now. And after that, it's Miami at number two. Like Miami, what has been unheralded with the Miami Heat is the different ways in which they have won these games and the way that they have changed the way that they have played, right? The different schemes that they have played defensively with changing personnel, the different ways that they have shot the ball and played offensively, whether it's just, hey, let's just shoot a bunch of threes or let's get a little bit more isolation heavy with our guys now back in terms of Jimmy Butler. Eric Spoelstra's done a tremendous job, and this is one of the better teams in terms of cover rate as well in the NBA, even with the upheaval of personnel. And Kyle Lowry's been out for the last six games due to personal reasons, and it's going to be seven today. So I think one and two for me clearly at this point are Phoenix and Miami. And then after that, I mean, to be honest, it's just a mismatch of teams who are kind of along the same level. Like take Golden State, for example. The market has some power rated extremely high, but this is a team that if you go back, let me see, I got this written down, in their last 16 games, we're talking about them being 5-11-1, or 17 games, 5-11-1 against the spread. They're clearly been overvalued by the market. They're not covering some of these big numbers that they put out there. To me, at least when it comes from a power rating perspective, one and two, it's Phoenix and Miami. And then after that, we can have a talk about whether or not you want to throw whoever else in there at number three.
I'm not sure how much you do on this, if anything at all, in your handicapping, but the Heat and the Bulls atop the Eastern Conference, really, really good records at home, like, you know, flirting with 500 on the road. Is that just random to you, or is that something you file away, or is that something you keep in mind on a nightly basis, handicapping? Thing or not a thing, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I think it's a thing, but I don't think it's a thing that should, like, you know, handcuff you in any way or shape or form, like, extensively every single night, right? You know, home court is worth something. And keeping track of it this year, home court's worth 2 points. So the fact that a team would be less than they are at home, it does make sense to a certain extent. Now, the extremes in which these teams have been, right, in terms of at home and on the road, that is something, I think, to worry about a little bit. And keep in mind, too, you know, Miami's actually got a history of this over the last few years. If you remember the year that they went to the NBA Finals, they were actually, again, another extreme home team in a way. And that's why I actually kind of like them that year to make it to the finals, because they were going to look like they're going to be a top four seed and get home court. Ultimately, it's all played out in the neutral. But this has been Miami now for a little bit. Their home court's been much more favorable for them. But I think with teams like that, like you want to keep track of it. To me, I always put it like this, Gil. It should be like the cherry or the whipped cream on top of the sundae. It shouldn't be the basis of which you are basing your recipe on when you're handicapping some of these games.
Makes sense. You threw on another screen here, the championship odds in the NBA. The Nets are the short shot, man. The Nets are still, you know, with the prospect of having the big three all together, I suppose, down the road. They're plus 275, Warriors plus 450. Is there a bet in this market?
Yeah, so I will say this. There's a couple of things I think in this market that are really interesting. One, I think it would behoove a lot of people to look at the Nets in terms of some of the two-way markets that are out there, i.e. Circa, and laying a no against them, because this is a team that we're talking about this. Like, I don't know how you just keep this together from the off-court stuff, right? Kyrie Irving's not available in home games. James Harden is now injured, has a hamstring issue that he's been dealing with on top of some other ailments. We know about Kevin Durant. You know, some of these projections, like ESPN's projections, actually have them more favored to finish as, like, in the play-in at this point right now, as opposed to finishing within the top six. And then now all of a sudden you're talking about a team, like, if you're on the road, that helps, because maybe you have all three of them out there. But if you're a top play-in seed, like, it would almost work against them, because you're not going to have Kyrie Irving out there, right, and playing in some of these games. So I think the Nets are on really shaky ground, and I think it's extremely clear at this point the odds don't reflect what they really should be in terms of winning a title. They're really not that heavy in terms of a favor, at least by my mind. So when you're looking at the board overall, like, I want to believe in the Bucks skill, but they continue to kind of put forth some of these lackadaisical efforts. You know, they get blown out by the Denver Nuggets yesterday. They get beat up by the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then, you know, we could talk about Giannis and the Bucks not caring because they've wanted already, and he shows up to press conferences with chicken wings. It doesn't really matter. But at the same time, like, you want to see some consistency at some point to believe that this team is, at least how I think they are, the best team in the Eastern Conference. So given all of this, I think if you're taking a shot, it's Miami. It's Miami at that 14, 15, 16 to 1 range. They are the team that is consistently trying in the Eastern Conference to win some of these games, in control of the one seed at this point right now. We've talked about with home courts, so that's very favorable to them. You would expect them to be fully healthy by the time you get to the postseason, and they're in double digits, and they've been the most consistent team in the Eastern Conference up to this point.
All right, we only have a few minutes here, and I want to get to any picks you have tonight, but last question on this. Where do you stand on the Lakers? Like, do you believe in them in a postseason run, or are you just like, this is never going to work?
Nah, I mean, like, if you have LeBron, you're good for a playoff series or so. But, like, when you're getting down to, like, in a series against Memphis, I'm not sure how they really match up well against a series with Memphis. The Phoenix Suns, I think, would have a field day with them in a best-of-seven series. Now, we'll say the makeup of the Western Conference allows them for some upward mobility, right? Because, like, teams like 3 through 10 are really not that great. And so you could see them winning a series, maybe two, to get to the Western Conference Finals just because of what's in front of them. But if the bracket doesn't break right for them, like, I just don't really see a realistic path for them to win the Western Conference getting past Phoenix or Memphis.
All right. Pretty healthy NBA schedule tonight. 8 games. What are you looking at? Hawks have won 7 in a row. They're hosting Toronto, 2.5-point favorites. Going there or somewhere else?
So I took 3.5 with Memphis against the Philadelphia 76ers. I think this is down to like 2.5-2 in a couple of spots. Memphis matches up really well with Philly. Philly doesn't want to run. They don't want to get up and down the floor. Memphis does. Like, they're one of the top teams in terms of transition frequency on offense, one of the best offensive ratings in terms of transition offense. John Morant in that offense, they're going to be able to get after Philadelphia. And I think that this is going to be a matchup that works well for them. So took 3.5 with the Memphis Grizzlies. And this is something to keep an eye on. And I want to see what Thibodeau does with the starting lineup. Gil, the Knicks are one of the worst first quarter teams in the league. We're talking about 27th in net rating, 19-30-1 against the spread in the first quarter, and it ties directly into this lineup that they roll out there every single night. The sixth most used lineup in the NBA, but negative 12.3 in terms of their net rating. It's one of the worst starting lineups out there, and Thibodeau continues to put it out there, and the results continue to be extremely poor. Just the other night, they're down big, and they lose the first quarter again to the Milwaukee Bucks. So if the Knicks are rolling out the same starting five, Knicks first quarter are playing against them with Sacramento, especially if De'Aaron Fox is going to play, is going to be something worth looking at.
Ooh, nice little angle. Is it, in your opinion, just that there's no other way for him to go, or what would you do?
Oh, he's being stubborn. Like, there's a reason why, like, the rumors are is that the Knicks are looking to shop guys because they want to force Thibodeau into playing some of these other guys. Like Cam Reddish, for example, they traded for him and he didn't show up for like 3 days. And they were like, the report was they actually had to come to him like, Tom, play Cam Reddish. So like, it's not going well.
Wow.
Like, it's not going well at all for New York.
The incumbent coach of the year, Tom Thibodeau. Right. Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT, and we'll be listening to The Edge later today. Thank you, JVT.
I was going to talk to you, man. Thank you.
You too. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. The Edge with Matt Eumanns, weekdays here on the network. We'll come back. We'll talk about this Rams-Niners game. We didn't have a chance to bat that around. We'll do that next. Chris Andrews as well. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Getting ready to watch the big game? We want to make sure VSiN is a part of your plans. On championship weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to our sixth annual live big game betcast. Six! It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join the VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN.com. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Mike Pritchard, and I will be on the game itself, the betcast. Stormy Bonatoni, she's going to run point guard all day on Sunday, I believe. So 56 hours of free coverage kicking off Friday night with primetime action, Matt Kelly and I. So we look forward to that. Jeff, what are you doing during the 56 hours? What are you doing?
Little got my normal slot Saturday.
There you go.
Yeah, so we'll be there.
4 hours of parles?
In bed, yep.
As opposed to 2 hours of parlay each and every morning here on the show. I have tennis picks, by the way, now that the Australian Open is behind us. By the way, did you see that match the other night? Did you see Rafa Nadal coming back from two sets down? Dead of night. 5 hours plus. Coming back from two sets to love to win his 21st major, breaking the all-time men's singles tie that he was in with Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer. 21 for Nadal. That knocked out our Medvedev future. So thankfully, we had the Barty future that got home. Iga to win the quarter in an otherwise not-so-great tournament for us. But now that we're in the smaller tournaments, there's a tournament in India, there's one in Argentina, there's one in France. Oh, yeah, we're betting these. So I have two today. I have David Goffin, minus 130 over Bonzi. That one is in France. David Goffin, minus 130. I think that one is still playable. That's right around that price. This one has gotten away from when I bet it yesterday. This one's in India. India at the old Maharashtra Open. I know you're familiar with that one, Jeff. The Maharashtra Open. I got Yannick Hanfman at plus 104. That one is against Londero. And that one has gotten to like minus 118. So I wouldn't play it higher than minus 115. But if you can find it minus 115 better, Yannick Hanfman is the play over Juan Ignacio Londero in tennis. So those are your two plays, Goffin and Hanfman. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This one is, let's see, this one is from, this is from Forrest Lehman talking about how I said, oh, Joe Burrow on the cusp of winning both college and pro championships in a three-year span with Ed Orgeron and Zach Taylor. He said, Zach and Ed, aren't we being a bit too harsh, a tad too harsh on this Taylor dude? So much questionable game coaching going on, and he's been average at worst, huh? Yeah, no, you're right about that. He's been better than McVay or Shanahan, as documented. Or for sure, Andy Reid. That's for sure. Nemesis Enforcer. Let's see Mahomes, quarterback without the cheetah code. See what he did there? He's been bailed out many times by having number 10 get behind safeties and make plays only he can. Time to use the O word? Oh, wow.
Is whoever that was a Patriots fan?
I don't know. Nemesis Enforcer, I love you. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is overrated, though. I don't think we'll go to the O word yet. Let's see here. Len Glow, Gil, one time is a happenstance, two times a coincidence, three times it's a problem. I thought three times was a lady. That's Andy Reid's legacy in big lead games. Lenny. Thank you, Lenny, for that. Everybody sort of commenting on what we've talked about throughout the show. Web12-66, the great Andy Reid, who I've watched blow games his whole career. His players couldn't bail him out yesterday. Should be head coach at BYU, he says. Chris Hartman, the lack of penalties on ticky-tack plays was great. However, when the clock is at 0-0 and the ball hasn't been hiked, or when a gunner gets ear-holed on a punt, those need to be flagged. That said, love not seeing a bunch of laundry in Championship Sunday. Thanks. Tim Thompson, overtime playoff rules, heck, maybe regular season, because in a singular block of time, coin flip receiving team has advantage. Need 2 6-minute halves in overtime. That's Tim Thompson's suggestion. Matt Grissom says, Skowronek. That's how you pronounce the Rams wide receiver's last name. Jason DeWall, how, after these playoff games, could anyone see the Rams -4 and say, yeah, I can see them covering easily. I trust you and love the show, so explain to me, please. P.S., is that line impacted at all by the exposure to Rams futures wagers? Not generally speaking, it's not, Jason, but I'm with you. Like, I don't know how anybody can look at that line. Now it's 3.5, by the way. I don't know how anybody can confidently say, oh, yeah, Rams cover easily. And this from a guy who, I had the Bengals against the Raiders, but I sure didn't have them this week or the week before. You agree with that, Jeff? I think he's right. I don't think anybody can say that confidently.
I thought it was going to be 3 when it would open. I thought it was going to be just a regular flat 3. 3.5 feels okay. 4 feels too much. Now, does that mean I'm going to bet the Bengals? I have no idea yet. But
I think I'm taking the Bengals plus the points.
The one thing I will say, and Gil, the biggest concern that we've had this whole run for the Bengals is that offensive line.
Yes.
And their offensive line, I thought, did okay yesterday. Granted, the best play of the entire day by Burrow came on a play where the Bengal offensive line got annihilated. Obviously, that big run on third down in the fourth quarter. But at some point, Cincinnati's bad offensive line is going to get them beat.
You would think, right?
You would think, at least.
And we cited the stats earlier. Wes Reynolds had the stat, too. They flashed it up on ESPN yesterday. The ultimate statistical mismatch, the Rams, first in pass rush win rate, with 50 sacks, third in the NFL this year, and the Bengals, 30th in pass block win rate of 32 teams, with 55 sacks allowed. That's from a Next Gen stats. So, I mean, yeah, but you think anything faces Joe Burrow at this point? Back to the Rams and the Niners. Stafford yesterday, 31 of 45 for 337, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. Cooper Kupp, 11 for 142 at 2 touchdowns, 14 targets. Does he have an invisible cloak? Can no one stop this guy? Beckham, 9 for 113, 11 targets yesterday. The Rams had 76 plays to the Niners 50. Kittle ended up with 2 catches. How does that happen? Debo had 1 touch in the fourth quarter. Oh, Jesus. And I'll say it again. We'll never know, but in my opinion, that dropped interception by Tart was the game. That was the game. And it's like we've been saying on this show for years. Jeff, it's tough to beat a team 7 times in a row. Been saying that for years here on the show. 7th time is the charm. As Sean McVay somehow gets by Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. Do you agree with what I was saying? The last thing I said when I went through this game blow by blow, I said McVay wins despite coaching 2 horrific games. That's accurate, isn't it? Horrible. So it's conservative last week, and then yesterday is like, dude, the timeout stuff is just malpractice.
The challenges, yes, which led to the 2 lost timeouts, yes, were ridiculous. Look, McVay, we've talked about this with McVay. There are not many guys who are better X's and O's wise than Sean McVay. But game management wise, he's been a menace most of his career.
Yeah, that's Andy Reid, right?
But his X's and O's have so far, Gilly inherited a Ram team that before he got there was the worst in the NFL for the previous decade, and all he's done is won 10 games a year with them. So the X's and O's are outplaying whatever ridiculousness he's come up with in-game.
So I asked you this earlier on the AFC side when we're talking about the Bengals beating the Chiefs, and I asked you, oh, how do you feel this morning if you're the Bills and the Titans, right? The Bills up with 13 seconds left. They give up 44 yards and 10 seconds to Mahomes. Game goes overtime. Chiefs win, famously. And then 2 weeks ago, Tennessee with the ball on their racket to beat the Bengals late. And then Tannehill throws it into coverage. It bounces up in the air. The Bengals pick that one off. Well, what about the NFC side after that game yesterday? How do you feel if you're the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think if you're Green Bay, of all these teams we mentioned, even more so than Buffalo, losing that game in that fashion to San Francisco is as bad as it gets.
They never scored on offense.
San Francisco didn't score an offensive touchdown. And the only way that Green Bay could have possibly lost that game was if their special teams did something disastrous. And that's exactly what happened. And again, we talked about it. And this is why there's nothing guaranteed in this league. That's why taking advantage of your opportunities is so important. Green Bay, two Super Bowls and 32 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play.
Rodgers is out of there, dude.
I would be surprised. I would be surprised if he's back.
You hear Devontae wants $30 million. So they're totally going to franchise him. And then he'll be stuck. Probably without Rodgers. Oh, what a mess. That's why when we were looking at the odds for next year's Super Bowl, because DraftKings put them up, literally we put up 16 teams. Only six of them were NFC teams. And two of them were the Buccaneers and the Packers, which were completely unbettable because we surmised here on the show that Brady was going to retire. Looks like we're correct. And then Rodgers, he's gone. He's not going to be part of a rebuild. They're $44 million over a cap. So literally you have four NFC teams. We just went through the AFC quarterbacks. What's the NFC tier? Dak, Kyler, Cousins, Stafford, and one more guy. I'm forgetting who it is. And then it's everybody else. That's how bad it is, that conference. We'll talk more about all this. Chrissy Andrews for the bookmaking perspective next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports bet.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast. Get Beating the Book with me, Gil Alexander, or Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. Plus, we've got Hardwood Handicappers, the Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, The Wide World of Wine Garden, and many more. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. It's Gil Alexander, ladies and gentlemen. He's my mishbucha. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook right behind us. It's Chrissy Andrews. How you doing, Chris?
I'm hanging in there, Gil. Doing well.
What was it yesterday? Good. You guys were good in the first game and then not so good the second game, I'm guessing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, three was a very bad number for us in the Rams game. But, you know, we knew it going in, and you got to see it coming for a while. And, you know, just like I said, overall, I'm glad we have this policy, but definitely bit us in the behind yesterday. But that's some of the things we got to live with.
The policy, for those who are curious, of not moving the juice, just moving the number.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So proportionally, obviously, there were only two games this weekend as opposed to four last weekend. Was it proportionally the handle, you know, right in line?
A little less this last weekend. The weekend before was just unbelievable how much business we took. But, you know, we were obviously very, very happy with the handle yesterday. We just weren't that happy with the outcome.
Right.
But the handle was terrific. But not the same as it was the week before, certainly not.
What were the – I'm always curious about this because this is sort of – you know, the one of the things since PASPA was ruled unconstitutional in May of 2018 that I'm not sure anybody really anticipated. Now we've become so used to it here, you know, three plus years later, is who knew this many people had this much disposable income to bet large sums on games? What did you see this past weekend? Like how many, what was your biggest bets that you took?
We took $200,000 on the I can't remember now, on the 49ers +3.5. We had so that one obviously. Then we had $165,000 to win $100 on the Rams on the money line. That one too, which will explain exactly why the three was no bargain for us yesterday. But we had other $100,000 bets, a lot of 10s, 20s, 50s, you know, so we had some pretty big action. you know, and it, like I said, like you said, there's just a lot of people out there with a lot of money, and they're not afraid to back their opinions with them.
What causes you to even, you know, blink at this point? Like, what moves the needle at all? If you get $200,000 a pop, does that, like, do you even notice that?
Well, it's funny. I don't think it was on your show. It was on one of the others. Actually, I think it was an interview I was doing. We took the $200,000 plus the 3.5, went to 3. Now, at the time, we were the only 3.5 flat in the world. And with the 3, we're the only 3 flat in the world as well. And it took, I think, 40 minutes for me to go back to 3.5. So I took in that 40 minutes, I took another $200,000 minus the 3 to get me back to 3.5. Now, it all didn't come in one bet, but a lot of guys bet in 10, 20. I think one guy might even have bet me 50 along the way. You know, so, it was, around some key numbers, you can get a lot of action stimulated very, very quickly. And that's exactly what happened in this Rams 49ers game.
All right. So the Super Bowl now, the Bengals and the Rams opened at 4 globally, 3.5 now. What was the first number you put it up at? And how do you expect this to go? Is this the number and or the matchup you were hoping for?
Okay, well, let's backtrack a little bit. I put up the potential matchup lines last week, and I opened the Rams 3 over the Bengals. Now, they bet me right away, and it was one, you know, super sharp guy. He laid me the 3 on the Rams. I went directly to 4 with it because, like I said, I just highly respected his action. So we did open the game 4 yesterday. Now, I personally think the number's a little too high. I like my look-ahead number at 3 a little better. But, you know, I did open at 4 yesterday. That was, you know, the market was either 3.5 or 4. And like I said, the guy who bet me is just somebody I greatly respect. So I thought 4 was a better opening number based on that. But like I said, had I been in a vacuum, I probably would open 3.5. It's not the greatest matchup, certainly not. But, you know, I think we've said this many, many times over the years. It's just not the marquee matchup we were hoping for. Probably Green Bay and Kansas City is what we were looking for, but that didn't happen. But, you know, here we are now, and we'll do a ton of business on this game. Like you said, there's just so many people with so much disposable income that I don't think we'll be hurting for action in the least come next Sunday or 2 Sundays from now.
Yeah, it's increments of lots and lots of money as opposed to anything being, oh, what a disappointment. We didn't get bets on a Super Bowl. Let me just ask you this follow-up, because we've said for many years now, and you were the one to articulate it first, which is, for whatever reason, the last, you know, quarter of a century, people bet the Super Bowl differently, right? They usually, during the regular season, people will take the dog plus the points. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, I don't know if it's a, you know, last hurrah kind of thing before the offseason, but they tend to bet the dog on the money line a whole bunch. And what you end up getting is a muted money line price on the favorite. I think we saw it pretty famously with the Patriots and the Falcons, where it got to like low minus 140s on the Patriots that day. Do you expect that to happen here?
Oh, I absolutely expect that to happen. Yeah, I think you just can't deny patterns that have been around for probably about 25 years. Barring very, very few exceptions, I can't even think of any right now. Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's exactly what will happen. I think if you are looking to bet the favorite and you're looking to bet the money line rather than the point spread, you're absolutely better off waiting, because I think as the public comes in and starts wading in with their opinions and their money, you'll see that money line drop. You know, I don't know that the number will go higher than 4. It might. I'm hoping it doesn't move at all, actually. But I think that money line will probably drop at least 10 cents or so from where we are right now. Plus, you know, listen, everybody knows, it's no secret by now, you know, by sometime next week, we'll have a dime line at the South Point.
Mm-hmm.
And some other people in town have followed us, and I expect them, I'm positive they're going to do the same thing this year. So there will be dime lines out there. Right now, as I look, last I checked was about maybe 15 minutes ago, everybody had the standard 20-cent line. But I think they'll go to the dime line. Matter of fact, like I said, I'm positive they will. And that's when you're going to find probably a lot of movement and probably some bargains, depending on what you're looking to play.
All right. Dime line, by the way, for those who don't know, like a you know, like a baseball line, minus 120 on the favorite, plus 110 on the dog, as opposed to there being a 20-cent straddle. Okay, and then when are your props coming out? The boilerplate props, I would assume, here within 48 hours, and then maybe a little more creative after that?
We'll have the boilerplate props up today. You know, some of the, you know, like that first page, and we were going over it last night. I think last year, I'd say we had 23 or 24 pages of props. So we'll probably have, like, the first page up today. And, you know, it's hard for me to say exactly. I just, you know, we have to look at some injury reports. Obviously, weather is not going to be an issue. You know, but we do have to just kind of get a feel for the market. And we'll put them up, hopefully, to have the entire menu up by Friday. Don't put that in concrete, but that would be the intention at this point.
Okay. And then the day after the Super Bowl, you'll have all the NFL draft props up, correct? Kidding. Joking.
No, we will not.
Just checking.
That one I can guarantee. Yeah. That one you could put in concrete. No, we will not. No.
All right. Enjoy the next 2 weeks of batting this game around. This should be fun.
You know, it will be. You know, Gil, I mean, I'm pretty wore out now by the end of the season, but you know, it is fun. It's fun doing battle with the public out there, and you know, it's like a giant chess match. We're going to lose some of the battles. We'll probably win a few too, and hopefully, in the end, we could scrape out a few dollars for ourselves by the time it's all over.
All right, Chris Andrews at Andrews Sports, the book, the author of the two books, Then One Day, but now his latest, Then One Year, available at Amazon and where all books are sold. You can check out all the details at Andrews Sports. Thank you, Chrissy. Appreciate it.
By the way, Gil, now available in the gift shop also.
Gift shop. How about that? Now you've reached the big time now. Now you've reached it. Chris Andrews, everybody.
I'll talk to you later.
Then One Year, the name of the book. First Super Bowl not to feature a top two seed, Jeff. Number four seed versus number four seed. They went to six seeds in each conference in 1990. There's never been a Super Bowl that didn't involve either a number one or number two seed. And obviously before that, didn't either. So that's the deal. Number four seed Rams. And the number four seed Bengals at SoFi, second straight year, where a team gets to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium. We'll come up, thoughts on the Super Bowl, and more right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that can be redeemed for rooms and dining at any MGM resort. BetMGM, proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer's made in the game you wager on. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. We get tweets at Beat the Book. Hayden Sherman. First Megapod consensus win, but only if Palm was on the Niners, but really on the Rams, but secretly on the Niners. What he meant by that was, for the full season, I had a half-game lead on Palm handicapping, and so Palm really agreed with me on the pick of the Niners plus the points, but he wanted to beat me, so he took the Rams, which is ridiculous. So he got beat. What were you going to say? He got beat at his ridiculous Megapod game. Nothing from Jeff? Okay. You leaned in. Thought you were going to say something. This is from, Bainbridge Deweese. He says, I didn't necessarily have a problem with the Chiefs throwing on second and goal at the end until I backed it up and confirmed that Travis Kelce wasn't even on the field for that play after a timeout. What? That was the second and goal, the first sack of Mahomes, the five-yard sack on that one. This is from, always appreciate these tweets, by the way. This is from, Roman Dago. Oh, Gil, the Hanfman-Londero match is in Argentina, not India. Just an FYI, because the Pune tourney is wrapping up for the day. Yes, Argentina, pardon me. Clay courts of Cordoba, Argentina, is where that match is. And again, the tennis picks are Goffin and Hanfman tonight. Let's see. This is Ali responding to the Game Plus Network schedule. Such a great morning afternoon. I love, quote-unquote, working from home for the whole Game Plus schedule. Scott C., from C. Scotty Bookie 17. Gil, if I would have known your recaps were going to be this good, I would have slept through the conference games after staying up to watch Nadal Medvedev. Did you watch any of that match, Jeff? Oh, come on, man.
Started at midnight. I had 12:30 out here as asleep. Somehow didn't get to when I woke up.
Nearly 5.5 hours of the greatest, just the greatest mental will you'll ever see in your life. Just incredible. Web 12-66, yo, Gil, Goffin went from minus 25 to minus 37 at Caesars in like 3 minutes as soon as you uttered Goffin or whatever the guy's name is, LOL. Yeah, that'll happen. Let's see here. Also, just someone else telling me that's in Argentina. Okay. And then Jack Oslovsky tried to get sassy with me and said it's so easy to do the play-by-play after the fact. Dude, this is what I'm thinking while it's going on and scribbling down the notes. Nice try, though, buddy. All right, Jeff, you started a sentence. You started a sentence off air by saying to me, you go, listen, I know he's a lunatic, but Jim Harbaugh, you think, is going to go to Minnesota and not Miami.
Okay, so, look, I'm just thinking about it from the football perspective more than anything. I don't know any information on this. If Harbaugh ends up in Miami, it wouldn't shock me at all. But from a football perspective, and we have talked about it, Gil, the AFC quarterback gauntlet now that exists, and I know you're higher on Tua than some, but Tua's nowhere even close to the level of any of those top five in the AFC.
Correct.
And it's just hard to see Tua in Miami winning anything of significance, regardless of who his coach is. If you're Harbaugh, even though Kirk Cousins has his flaws, as we know, and has only 1 year left on his contract, don't you look at the Minnesota job and say, Aaron Rodgers is probably leaving Green Bay. The Bears have a second-year quarterback with a defensive-minded head coach. The Lions stink.
Mm-hmm.
I can win this division with the amount of talent I have in Minnesota – pretty easily year one.
As opposed to
Miami, where I have to compete with Belichick, Josh Allen.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
And a gauntlet to even make the playoffs in the AFC. The NFC side, we talked about it. Like the quarterback situation, Dak Prescott, I guess, is the number one quarterback in the NFC by default.
We went through the tiers.
I guess.
We went through the tiers of AFC quarterbacks. Literally, the NFC is Dak, Kyler, Cousins. No particular order, right? If Rodgers leaves. And Brady, we're assuming, is gone. We're not assuming. He is gone. Dak, Kyler. You know, he's going to make the announcement himself. Dak, Kyler, Cousins, Wilson, and Stafford. Those five guys. Everybody else is after them. It's just so much more top-heavy in the AFC. Now, the other thing going on in Vegas this week before the Super Bowl, because obviously we have 2 weeks to throw around the Rams and the Bengals, and we'll get your initial thoughts in a two-week span here on this game, Jeff. But we have some events going on here in Las Vegas. We have the Pro Bowl happening this week, which is why on the Megapod we do our 11th annual Vegas Lifestyle Show this week, where we talk about all the things in Vegas, restaurants, sports books, all the different things in case you and your buddies are traveling to Vegas this week. But we have the Pro Bowl this week, and we have the NHL All-Star Game. Now, what is the NHL All-Star Game doing?
NHL All-Star Game, by the way, is a noon Pacific puck drop on Saturday, because of course it is. So they're doing... the lead from the NFL's original draft plans for the, of course, scuttled 2020 NFL draft here in Vegas. There's going to be two outdoor events on Friday night, which if you happen to be in Vegas and want to go down to the Strip, probably avoid the Bellagio at any cost, because they're doing an event called the Fountain Faceoff on the lagoon at the Bellagio, Gil.
This is awesome.
Competition takes place at the Bellagio Fountains. Players will travel by boat to the quote-unquote rink and are required to successfully shoot five pucks into five targets in the least amount of time. Qualifying players move to a head-to-head final. Fountain spray and the breeze off the Strip will add to the challenge.
Players will travel by boat.
And that is from the press release from the NHL. And then they're doing, this is actually a little bit funnier for me, the Las Vegas NHL 21 in 22. Shutting down part of Las Vegas Boulevard, looks like right in front of Paris and Bellagio, they're going to hang a full deck of oversized cards on a rack and basically make players shoot pucks at these cards so they get to 21 without busting. And whoever does it in the least amount of cards is going to be crowned the puck shark of the NHL.
They're closing the Strip for this?
You know, at least closing a part of it.
Wait, so now the NFL draft, if we remember, so the NFL draft's here in April, and as Jeff said, it was supposed to be here in 2020. The pandemic scuttled that. But wasn't the plan for that supposed to be this elaborate thing where you started at the Bellagio, right? I don't know if players travel by boat like they do in the NHL version. But like they started the Bellagio, and then somehow they end up like on Koval, right? Which is a long way to where they actually like reunite with the team that drafted them? Is that what works? Like, how is that happening?
I think it was they were going to do like the red carpet out on a lagoon, and then they were going to build this pedestrian bridge that led directly to the that new forum auditorium behind the link.
How long is that going to take?
Time's not a real thing, Gil. Come on.
Yeah, I suppose. Wow. Vegas. Always interesting. So where do you sit? We got 2 weeks, Jeff, to talk about nothing but the Rams and the Bengals. What are you doing on the game? Do you anticipate playing props?
Oh, I'm definitely going to play props. And the biggest thing to monitor props-wise going to be the two tight end injuries that happened yesterday.
Uzoma and Higbee.
Yes, because there was one report floating around this morning that Uzoma only had a sprained MCL, which if that's the case... He would have a shot to play. And, of course, Higbee left, and there had been no reports since then other than that it was a knee. Kendall Blanton on the Rams had been utilized a lot in that game after Higbee went out, and Blanton had more catches in the NFC title game than he did the whole regular season. So I'm curious to see how the market treats him prop-wise. And then on Cincinnati's side, Drew Samples, their backup tight end, he's going to be someone I want to see if there's props dished on him if Uzama ends up being ruled out well before in advance. Those are the guys I'm going to be looking at.
Cincinnati plus the points. Thank you very much. And I had the Rams to win the NFC. I love the Rams. Good for the Rams, by the way. They went all in. Stafford, this is why they got Matthew Stafford. Jalen Ramsey, Vaughn Miller, on down the line. And it's paid off for them. They got to a Super Bowl, their second appearance in 4 years. Good for them for doing that. But I'm taking the points with the Bengals. Jimmy G, where does he end up next year?
Not in San Francisco.
All my Washington buddies are like, great, we're going to end up with Jimmy G. Ugh.
Steelers?
Now, that would be interesting. If I'm the Steelers, I may roll with that.
I mean, Garoppolo's better than Mason Rudolph. We know that.
Please don't. They're going to Washington. And I like Jimmy G more than other people do. But, yeah, no. Jimmy G, you know the record with Kyle Shanahan. Just so much more, you know, so much better win-loss with him than with any other quarterback. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.